Welcome everyone to the Friday night public discussion group of Perfecting Horizons Institute. We are in paper 55, section 9, which is old single column, page 633. All right. Okay, so just briefly, remember how this paper is finishing out. We're stepping through stages of light and life again, only not relative to just an individual world, but relative to the cosmos at large, if you will, relative to the hierarchy of the cosmos. And they started us again with a world getting settled in light and life, but now in this mode of how that world being settled in light and life foreshadows eventually every world in a local system getting settled in light and life, so that the entire local system is, quote unquote, settled in light and life. And we're ready now to move to the next level up in the hierarchy, a whole constellation being settled in light life. And let me just reread that last paragraph of section 8, because it's, you see how there's a big paragraph break before it. It's serving as the transition to this next section. So get us spun up again. All right, so the Revelator said, he was, thinking about a system being settled in light and life and then going to the next step. And now, as the systems, one by one, become settled in light by virtue of the progress of their component worlds, and just reminding you that, you still have to do it one world at a time, right? The time comes when the last system in a given constellation attains stabilization. So it's still, there's going to be a final system. All the others have already made it. All the other 99 have made it. There's this final system and a final world in that final system. Okay, so last system in a given constellation attains stabilization, and the universe administrators, the Master Sun, the Union of Days, and the Bright and Morning Star, arrive on the capital of the constellation to proclaim the Most Highs, the unqualified rulers of the newly perfected family of 100 settled systems of inhabited worlds. Notice how definitively they say Master Sun, because this is way down the road. In the case of Nebadon, remember how just a couple paragraphs back from that, as we talked about last time, we do not yet have a constellation in Nebadon that has reached a settled state. Remember they mentioned you don't have any mansion worlds that have been repurposed anywhere in Nebadon. So that if you've got it at the constellation stage, it definitely is the case that the mansion worlds are repurposed. Right? So as we go to this next section, we're moving beyond Nebadon in terms of anything that is actually factualized. We're thinking about, we're not just thinking about Nebadon, we're thinking about the entire universe of universes. Another reminder of just how relatively young our local universe is relative to all the local universes. But it's relatively young. From our perspective, it seems like it's, crazy old. I mean, it's our local universe is much older than current scientists, even remotely imagine the entire universe is, right?
More than 10 times.
Right. I mean, Nebadon is 300 billion years old. Now, that there weren't inhabited worlds until 200 billion years ago, but still, right? 200 billion years, and we don't have a constellation settled in light and life yet. So, but since the universe of universes is like we, you know, speculate from that one back of the envelope calculation that they seem to be giving us indirectly, since the universe of universes is 300 trillion years old, there are obviously constellations that have been settled in various places in the seven super universes. Yeah. Okay, so let's...
which is how they know what happened.
Right, and so that's, the author that's telling this story is, aware of these things outside of Nebadon. And just one other little thing, then I'll get to the question. And they'll expand on this. Notice what they are hinting at, that they're just about to talk about directly. That the Master Sun, the Union of Days, and the Bright Morning Star proclaim the Most High's the unqualified rulers. Right? They're obviously moving towards that literalization of them being the Most High's. Not somewhat high or quite high, right? But Most High, period. Okay, so what's the question?
Do we have any systems in Nebadon that have reached light and life?
Yeah, we probably have systems. It doesn't tell us, definitively, but one would think we definitely have systems, but not a constellation yet. Yeah, so you haven't gotten any one constellation with all 100 systems. Now you probably have several of the oldest constellations relative to the systems in them. They have quite a few settled in light and life, but not all 100 yet. And that's that's all we know. They don't give us any specifics on that. All right. So let's see what really gets into play when the Most Highs are starting to really be literally as their name implies. And these next two sections really are playing out that picture of how things are getting reorganized. Remember, we're kind of looking at the change of the administration that's going on, how things really get reorganized with that being the primary new anchor point in play, is the Most Highness of the Most Highs. All right, let's get into it here.
9, the third or constellation stage. The unification of a whole constellation of settled systems is attended by new distributions of executive authority and additional readjustments of universe administration. This epoch witnesses advanced attainment on every inhabited world, but is particularly characterized by readjustments on the constellation headquarters, with marked modifications of relationships with both the system supervision and the local universe government. During this age, many constellation and universe activities are transferred to the system capitals, and the representatives of the super universe assume new and more intimate relations with the planetary system and universe rulers. Concomitant with these new associations, certain super universe administrators establish themselves on the constellation capitals as volunteer advisors to the Most High Fathers.
Okay. So, like they're saying right at the beginning, actually, mainly they're just giving us little hints about how the whole administration is readjusting. And notice how they say this epic witnesses advanced attainment on every inhabited world. All right, so that makes sense from what they were just telling us before, that things are going to be way down the road by the time you get a constellation settled in light and life. So you're going to have a lot of very advanced worlds in play. And just remember the thing that that's different from what they're telling us now, from what they told us before about worlds getting deeper and deeper in light and life, is how the administration on a particular world is affected by this bigger unit in the cosmos getting totally settled. It's not just more of the same on the world, just fancier and fancier like we read before. I mean, you literally get whole new things happening to a world regardless of what settled it is as a world, you know, when the system or the constellation gets settled. Right, so that's, you know, even though they're not giving us the details, because they can't, you know, when they're saying, but it's particularly characterized by readjustments on the constellation headquarters with marked modification of relationships, right? See, I mean, all the lower level things get this upgrade when the constellation gets settled. Okay, so now notice the specifics, because this kind of gets, this is one of the few details that they can give us as we go forward. So it says, you know, during this age, many constellation and universe activities are transferred to the system capital. So, you know, we see this continuing phenomenon of things leveling out, you know, because as the deeper things get settled in light and life, much of what has long been a hierarchy is getting, you know, the bottom parts of the hierarchy are moving up to what used to be higher, right? And it's all moving towards everything being sort of on the same level, and it's just all being one local or one super universe, you know, all at a complete level, right? So that evolutionary process is collapsing the hierarchy and pulling, everything is pulling up from the bottom, moving up, you know, to universal level eventually, okay? Well, every world, you know, becomes just an extension of the headquarters of the super universe, and it's all just one, you know, in terms of administration, planar phenomenon. Moving more and more like, interestingly, that the actual geometry that they give us for the central universe, you know, of it being literally planar. All right, so just this whole interplay between, you know, what's going on in terms of mind and spirit, you know, having direct expression in the actual physical geometry of things too. Now, you know, don't forget the actual geometry of the central universe has absonite dimensions to it. It's not just that flat, finite dimensional thing they give us, but, you know, it is interesting to note that when you project its geometry into a finite picture, it's in all on a plane from that finite projection, right? See, and that's so there's a truth to it there. There's a truth to that projection that you're seeing here too, right? That everything is beginning into more and more conformity with the projection of the central universe into the finite. Okay. You know, already, you know, the seven main galaxies of the seven super universes are coplanar. Right. So, you basically set it up from the beginning to have it being geometry-wise, you know, a planar extension out from the central universe. But we have an awful lot of stuff out of the plane right now in the super universes. One would wonder, as you go deeper and deeper into light and life, you know, is it all eventually all cleaned up and ends up being quite planar too? I don't know. I mean, there's no suggestion right now that it's not going to do that. It seems like it's moving towards something being quite planar still. All right, so anyway, just, you know, kind of note that kind of interesting relationship between the administrative hierarchy and then actual physical geometry. Okay, so let's see. And then, so you have, you have what used to be low, now being high. So when when they say these things are being transferred to the system capitals, it's not really transferred down anymore. See, and it's really being just distributed horizontally because those things have come up to that level now, right? And it's just spreading out.
Humans have visualized this and tried to even accomplish it, but they leave out what you've just described as all self. All these individuals are self-governing at a higher and higher level, where the what's been attempted on our world is rule in a flat plane.
Right.
Where the individuality of the individuals actually get squashed out. I mean, individuality is allowed and collapse society.
Yeah, right. And that, for those in the webinar, I mean, he's just bringing out that, the very important lesson that the Revelation is trying to teach us about when we envision an idealistic government, we're able to visualize that because of our unity consciousness, and it just blurs out all individuality. And when we try to think about this vision that we're having of an idealistic future, we try to visualize it literally. You literally wash out individuals. And so as we try to, we've been trying to do this for, over 100 years now, you might say, very aggressively. People have been trying to actually factualize this envisioning of an idealistic future, and it's always at the expense of individuality. And, the revelators are trying to teach us just how horrendously problematic that is. Because fundamentally, that means you're only going to achieve that at the expense of personality. I mean, personality is absolutely unique. I mean, that's individuality. And so, and people basically kind of recognize that you're depersonalizing mankind as you try to establish these so-called idealistic futures by fiat. We picture everyone, turning into nondescript gray clothed, minions, right, to the state. So that depersonalization. But yes, here we see, as you elevate those lower, formerly lower hierarchical levels, it's not at the expense of individuality. It's only with the fullness of absolute individuation that you can get the super additive consequences that actually lift things up. It doesn't rise up magically or because someone declares it to have risen up. It rises up through the physics of the super additive consequence. And the more you can get two absolutely distinct personalities manifesting down at those low levels, the higher the super additive consequence and the more the whole collective phenomenon elevates. Until finally, there's so much super additivity that the whole phenomenon is all up to universal level, like I said, up to the level of the headquarters of the super universe. And you have an administrative phenomenon that just extends horizontally from the center of the super universe out, through every inhabited world. Every one of them is administered as if it's Uversa, in our case. But that's only possible because of all of that incredible super additivity. So much super additivity that everything is up at the level of the Ancients of Days. Right? We're a long ways away, at least I am, from being at eye level with the Ancients of Days. There's a lot of super additivity that needs to happen yet to get this world up to that level. All right. And what we're talking about here is we won't just bootstrap ourselves up as a world. We'll do a lot kind of like that, but you get these booster shots, the whole system, and you can leverage off the whole system, and then you can leverage off the whole constellation and up and up and up everyone goes. Okay, so the rest of that paragraph there. Notice that, you know, and it says, and the representatives of the superuniverse assume new and more immediate relations with the planetary system and universe rulers. What's the obvious glaring hole in that sequence? Planet, system, is the next thing in line the local universe? Right, look at the sequence there, right? There's a divot in that sequence, okay? Why? Okay, new and more intimate relationships with those three levels. There's been a close relationship with the constellation for a long, long time, because the Most Highs, you know, are destined, and long before they reach that destiny of their total Most Highness, right? You know, we talk about it all the time. They have a very close linkage to the Ancients of Days to begin with. That's why they end up being the Most Highs, right? End up being the deputies of the Most of the Ancients of Days. Right? See, so that's, you know, so you've got that long-standing connection to the constellation. Now the other three levels of the hierarchy, you know, are getting an equal or at least similar, you know, linkage to the Ancients of Days, the planet, the local system, and the local universe headquarters. Okay.
So eventually, you get to a point where it's kind of like the example of Pavona you mentioned a minute ago, to where you really almost don't even need the local universe. You know, the Mother Spirit and Michael have gotten to a point where she's been taken over by the whole Mother Spirit of the entire super universe.
And that might be what we're going to talk about in two paragraphs.
And that frees Michael and the Mother Spirit to go out in the outer space levels.
Yeah, exactly. That's where we're heading. You know, is just appreciating how that can come to pass, that the Creator Son and the Creator Mother Spirit can do what they need to do relative to the outer space levels. Someone has to be taking over all that, those roles. So that's what we're foreshadowing. But then, you know, so you not only have the Ancients of Days getting this greater linkage to those besides the Most Highs, but, you know, it says concomitant with these new associations, certain super universe administrators establish themselves on the constellation capitals. Okay, so you've boosted the linkage to the other levels, but you've also, you know, boosted the linkage to the constellation itself, because, kind of like what John was just alluding to, when all is said and done, they are the Most Highs. They are going to be the ones that are in charge, right? So the center of the linkage from the center of the super universe is in the constellation, and it, you know, spreads to the rest of the local universe from there. Okay. So all of those nodes of the constellation headquarters, right, all 100 constellations in the local universe, right? You had 100, you know, nodes of Ancient of Days influence, and then that Trinity administration spreads out from those 100 nodes throughout the whole local universe. Right, and obviously, you know, we're talking about all kinds of unrevealed beings. You know, when they say certain super universe administrators, I mean, these are beings they haven't revealed. But, you know, you'll shake hands with them one day when you finally get up to Uversa, whoever they are. All right, keep going here.
When a constellation is thus settled in light, the legislative function ceases, and the House of System Sovereigns, presided over by the Most Highs, functions instead. Now, for the first time, such administrative groups deal directly with the superuniverse government in matters pertaining to Havona and Paradise relationships. Otherwise, the constellation remains related to the local universe as before. From stage to stage in the settled life, the Univitatia continue to administer the constellation Morantia worlds.
Okay, so let's start with that last statement, You know, they're reminding you that you still have ascenders in the constellation worlds, you know, the constellation headquarters worlds, you know, all those lots and lots of worlds, remember? Yeah, you still have ascenders going through that whole socialization process. You know, even if they've jumped, if, you know, if, like if you've fused on your world and you've jumped all the way to the local universe headquarters, you're still going to be coming back and paralleling those working through the constellation regime. Okay. But, you know, remember, again, we're at this constellation-settled stage. So like they mentioned in the previous section, this means mansion worlds, you know, have been repurposed. Right? And basically, there's no ascenders at the local system, you know, not in the mansion worlds and not even at the local system headquarters world. Right? Everyone is just completely jumping over that. Okay, and now when they mention that the legislative function ceases at the constellation headquarters, remember, you know, that was back, if you're wondering where that was, I can just tell you, it was in paper 43, section 2, they told us about that legislative function, you know, and they mentioned that the lower house of that legislative body is the house of the ascenders, right? And that those and they say each system nominates 10 members to sit in this deliberative assembly. Well, if you really don't have ascenders in the local system, right? See, so that's one way, simple way, you can kind of just see how that whole legislative function that's been going on for so long is going to, you know, pass on to something else. And if nothing else, the fact that you're kind of rolling up the sidewalks in terms of the ascenders, you know, down at those formerly lower levels. Yeah, so that all seems to fit, you know, this fact that, you know, you really have gotten everything to the point where ascending up to the beginning of the constellation regime is all being done on the inhabited worlds, and you don't need that whole ascension scheme regime in the local system headquarters worlds.
That's why they say, but the unification is still right, taking care of the worlds, so other.
Yeah, but up at the constellation level, you still have the you still have ascenders, and so you still have their relationship to the unification. It's just not down at the local system, and everything used to be happening there with the ascenders. Now, eventually, obviously, things are probably going to go away at the constellation, too. Sure. Okay? I mean, if you've got an awful lot of the mortals that are fusing on their inhabited worlds and going straight to the local universe headquarters, I mean, eventually, you know, they're all going to be doing that, and no one's going to be going to the constellation to be going through that old unification process. Okay? But at this point, you still, you know, we aren't so far, you know, down the road that you don't have some ascenders that are still needing to literally start, you know, somewhere in the constellation worlds, okay, with their ascension scheme. Okay, did you had something?
Yeah,
you
just answered.
Oh, okay, okay.
So the mortal spheres are actually starting to give you constellation level orientation.
Yeah.
They're so elevated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you understand that? Like I said, see, everything is moving up. You know, it used to be the constellation was, you know, things were way above the, you know, nativity spheres. Yeah. Not anymore, right? Everything is moving up. Okay. So, all right. Let's see. What else do we have there? Oh yeah. So you don't have that normal legislative assembly. Now you've got just like we saw before, where you had planetary sovereigns functioning collectively for the system, you've got system sovereigns functioning collectively for the constellation. So you see that parallel, but still presided over by the Most Highs. Right? So the you know, we saw how in the previous one Lucifer was trying to get ahead of himself and do that whole system, settled enlightened life stuff way before its time. Okay, but he was also wanting to liberate himself from the most highs. Okay, no, that doesn't happen. They're the most highs. Okay, so even when you got the system sovereigns, this house of system sovereigns, they're still presided over by the most highs. Let's see.
I think you would have been aware of.
You'd think.
Well, you know, but he's thinking that's just all part of the big,
the sham.
Yes, the whole oppression that's been going on. Usurping, the rights of men and angels.
Yeah.
Okay, so now notice that we're starting to circumvent some of the normal hierarchy that's been in place for a long time, like they said there. So you have this administration on the Constellation headquarters that is not going up the hierarchy. See, they're dealing directly with the super universe government in matters pertaining to Havona and Paradise. So the Trinity nature of the central universe, is more and more is being established out here in the super universe level. Right? And so you see some very direct, indications of that right there. That if it really is directly related to that, you don't have to go up through the local universe headquarters, et cetera, right? You just work directly with that ancient of days, eternal of days linkage, right? Of the central universe out to the super universes.
Yep. Reflectivity would still be.
Right, I mean, reflectivity and everything is all in place and everything. But it just in terms of, regardless of how you communicate, you don't have to, ask permission for something or whatever at the local universe headquarters anymore, and then, you just do it directly with the Ancients of Days. But like I said, otherwise the constellation remains related to the local universe before. Right, so, I bet when we go to the next stage, right, when you actually get the local universe settled in light and life, it'll continue to evolve. But right now, and it's just a constellation, it's only partly, are you fully actualizing this direct linkage between the Most Highs and the Ancients of Days? Okay, and just the one little thing that you'll see as we go forward, beings like the Univitatia, these sort of permanent, citizens type beings, that are at the various levels of the hierarchy. Obviously, as the hierarchy starts to collapse and stuff, I mean, their roles in the whole game have got to evolve. So, you'll see that they mention that down the road here a little bit. But for right now, the Univitatia can kind of just continue as before because they've got ascenders going through the constellation. Okay, now kind of what John was alluding to here.
I didn't read ahead.
But you've read it before. Yes.
As the ages pass, the Constellation Fathers take over more and more of the detailed administrative and supervising functions which were formerly centered on the universe headquarters. By the attainment of the sixth stage of stabilization, these unified constellations will have reached the position of well-nigh complete autonomy. Entrance upon the seventh stage of settledness will no doubt witness the exaltation of these rulers to the true dignity signified by their names, the Most Highs. To all intents and purposes, the constellations will then deal directly with the super-universe rulers, while the local universe government will expand to grasp the responsibilities of new grand universe obligations.
Okay, so so you're moving towards this this full extrapolation of the Trinity government of the super universe down into every nook and cranny, because it's not really down anymore, but everything is lifted up, and it's just extending out into every nook and cranny of all the details of that super universe. It's no longer just a ceiling, right, of Trinity administration, right? It's ubiquitous. Trinity administration. And the keys are the Verondadex sons, right? Not the Melchizedeks, not the Lenonadeks, right? But the very father-like expressions, the Verondadeks, being the deputies of the super fathers, right? The Ancients of Days. And like John was alluding to there, the main reason why is eventually at that whole dual administration is going to fade away. It's all going to be nothing but Trinity administration. Eventually, the Creative Mother Spirit will literally hand everything over to the mother that's above her in the hierarchy, because it's no longer above her, right? When everything is up to that level of the reflective mother spirits of the super universe, right? Then she can just completely hand it over. She can collapse to a localized being instead of this being that's, you know, spread out over the entire local universe, you know, and she can take the hand of the Master Son, and the two of them can go out to the outer space levels together.
They get to go to Maui for a while.
That's probably no vacation. Honeymoon is in the first outer space level, yeah. Yeah, and it's a working honeymoon.
There's a suite there.
We can't
get away. So when the Supreme then manifests after this is done everywhere, how does that fit into that picture?
Well,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that become?
Well, again, no one really knows, but remember, there's a hierarchy of mothers, and you know, you're eventually up to the level where, you know, you're basically functioning at the level of the universal mother of the entire grand universe. But, you know, you're not going to dwell there really for any length of time, because that mother is going to, you know, collapse, you know, along with the Almighty Supreme and become the Supreme Being, a localized being in an absonite space. Yeah. All of them in some initial absonite mother domain. Right? I mean, the Supreme Being has to still be plugged into a mind in a mother womb. You know, it's now, you know, some initial, and there's a whole vast hierarchy of absonite mothers, you know, just like we have, you know, quite a bit of hierarchy of finite mothers.
It's like they're not liberated to localize and kind of peruse as individuals until their domains are completely finished.
Yeah, right, until they literally can let go, they don't let go, yeah. Right?
But then out then, are the Ancients of Days even needed, so to speak?
Well, I mean, you still have to have those, I mean, you have eternals.
Didn't mean to be blasphemous.
Well, yeah, that's God you're talking about, you know. think about it. I mean, you've got Eternals of Days, you know, in Havona, right? That doesn't just happen without Eternals of Days, right? It isn't just Havona natives and everything goes, you know, fine without. Yeah, right. So you're just extending that out. Obviously, the Ancients of Days will be anchors, but no one knows who else. When we get to the last section of this paper, you'll see there's, you know, we have a pretty good idea of some of the beings that are going to be involved with the Ancients of Days, but there will be countless beings that don't exist yet, because the Supreme Being will bring them into existence, you know, to populate the whole administration of the super universe level. But the Ancients of Days, well, will be, you know, elevated up, just like we'll be elevated up as seven-stage spirits. You know, every finite being is going to be elevated up, and they'll obviously be key anchors in whatever administration there is in the super universe then. But it'll be an absonite space, you know, absonite doings. Okay. What was that?
The finite will be pretty much.
Right. Yeah, we're talking about the finite being complete.
Right.
Right? All finite processes, all finite dimensions, all are transcended. Yeah.
I mean, it's so literal how the geometry of a mother can be localized in an absentite space, mm-hmm. but it couldn't be in a finite space. It had to be, it had to be a womb
mm-hmm.
relative to the finite. But relative to the absentite, it can be localized. It's almost a physics thought.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Geometry condenses.
Yeah, I mean, there's just all kinds of fascinating things to think about, you know, about the kind of the truths that are, as you reflect on these little details, there's some high transcendent truths in play that kind of get your, you know, your speculative your insightful, you know, gaze, you know, those gears start turning, right? It's like, I wonder if that's, that's the whole point. They're trying to get you to prime the pump on your relationship to the three cosmic intuitions and start really getting a penetrating insight going in your mind. It starts to notice patterns and is able to take what it learns in one area and transfer it to another area with, in a way that no one's like, who'd have thought to use that idea over there, right? That's what you're trying to get going. Okay, anyway, back to this. That's the main thing between the lines of that final paragraph is that, like they're saying, by the attainment of the sixth stage of stabilization, right, you've reached the point where the Creator Son, the Master Son, and the Creative Mother Spirit have almost no duties left, right? All their former duties have effectively been delegated to others, right? You know, and it's just going to trickle down until literally there's nothing left for them to do in the super universe level, and that's why they can go out to the outer space level. You know, and that last little bit, when they let go of that last little bit, that's what they're, you know, just getting you to reflect on that evolutionary process. Is it literally not until the very last second that the Creative Mother Spirits, you know, coalesce to a localized being? Or, you know, the Revelators don't know, no one knows. I mean, does that actually maybe happen a little bit before the entire grand universe is settled in light and life? You think about it, maybe the reflective mother spirits, not to mention there's a level of mother, right? The creative mother agencies of the ancients of days, you know, maybe those mothers really can completely take over everything before that last, you know, completion of the finite. Maybe the creative mother spirits are liberated, you know, before the very last moment. I don't know. No one knows. It's just all speculation. Let's see. Anyway, like I said, see, now you've got that true dignity signified by their names, the Most Highs. But, you know, notice that they had to take us all the way to the seventh stage, you know, because like you're saying, they can't be literally the fullness of that until the Creator Son and the Creator Mother Spirit have gone down to zero, you know, influence themselves, right? It's just it's a reciprocal handing off as they go to no longer anything in the super universe, the Most Highs, you know, go to their completeness, their full height. We should probably mention, so we're kind of dancing around, that last little statement about the local universe government will expand to grasp responsibilities of new grand universe obligations, that's kind of more directly related to that collective super universe level that I talk about, right? That level where you have the creative mother agencies of the ancients of days being the mother, the womb for that highest level in the finite. Remember how we talked about another way to think about that collective super universe level is the level of the universe of universes, the level of the universe of local universes. Okay. And that's directly interfacing with the grand universe, you know, as a whole. Okay. See, so that's what they're alluding to there. See, is that, you know, you've got the individual super universe stuff that we're kind of focusing on, but there's another, see, even higher issue that they don't really ever directly talk about that you can only infer. That is between each super universe level, that level of womb, and the actual grand universe. Right? Those don't directly interface with each other. There's a collective super universe level, a universe of local universes level between those two. Right? And so eventually, see, you have, you know, as you fully establish the super universe, that also liberates what used to be a local universe thing within a super universe phenomenon to really just, you know, it really doesn't have anything to do except that highest level of the finite now. Yeah, and that's what they're alluding to there.
Could you consider it like mimicking the what's happened, what we just read on the constellations, on the constellation levels?
It's just
at the universe.
It's just recognizing that you won't have the whole grand universe settled in light and life until you've lifted everything up, you know, literally to the level of the universal mother. You know, that highest womb ceiling of the finite, if you will. You see, you have the super universes have to have some uplifting to experience yet too, right? I mean, you know, just settling a super universe in light and life, well, it's like there's still that collective level above them that they have to be brought up into to actually get everything up to the grand universe level. I see, that's what that's alluding to. And you'll see as we won't be this time, but next time, they talk about a super universe being settled in light and life. You know, you can tell by the way they talk about it that they recognize there's got to be some distinction, they don't really totally understand it, between a super universe settled in light and life and the grand universe being settled in light and life. Right? It's that you haven't collapsed the whole hierarchy yet, just getting a super universe settled in light and life. Okay.
So I got a question. So when we get settled in light and life, even at the constellation level or the local universe level, what happens to all the planets that are not habitable? Or do they just, you know, like the solar system that we're in,
mm-hmm.
you know, do you think they sort of somehow disappear somehow, or
that question really comes up in section 11.
Oh, okay, I'll read it, but
I'll give you a little hint. Remember how when they're just talking about an individual world in the stages of light and life, you really took care of the basic physical issues with the world in the fifth stage of light and life. Of the world itself.
Still needs a sun.
Right, still needs a sun and all that sort of stuff. But remember, the master physical controllers in the fifth stage of light and life really took control of the world and really put it into basically a finished state, you know, made it, you know, parallel to an architectural world,
okay.
Right? That was the stage at which those all those mysteries of, well, what about all of the, you know, the loose ends of physical things, you know, sandbars that are not part of eternity, what becomes of them, you know, et cetera, right? There's all those issues just on a world that they'll clean that all up so that you don't have superfluous geography anymore.
Think evolution still happens?
Right, evolution is still happening until the grand universe is settled in life, right?
Okay.
But you've got a parallel in the big picture. It's, you know, if it's a fifth stage on a habited world, it's going to be the fifth stage in the big picture.
Okay.
See, that's that minor sector stage. That, you know, they don't give you much detail, but see, just parallel. You would suspect that a lot of those issues of, well, what about all the worlds like Jupiter, say, you know, that, you know, what's to become of them? They probably don't play any role in an absentite super universe level. When do you start to take care of all that stuff, extra stuff? Most likely, it starts to really happen when you get to the minor sector stage. Okay? I mean, you're not going to be able to clean up everything all in one step. It's not, you know, see, it's not as clean a thing as on the world where you just have the world. Okay, and you can clean up the world. And yeah, when you're talking about big picture like that, you've got a lot of evolution going on that you've got to still be synchronized with, you know, on that level. Okay, but you would think that they would start to really aggressively answer those questions in that fifth stage. Okay, what's to become of all this extra stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
And exactly how you, I mean, who knows? I mean, I certainly don't know. Anyway, okay, let's before we do that, we got to do the fourth stage.
Okay, 10, the fourth or local universe stage. When a universe becomes settled in light and life, it soon swings into the established super universe circuits. And the Ancients of Days proclaim the establishment of the Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority. This new governing body consists of the 100 Faithful of Days, presided over by the Union of Days. And the first act of this Supreme Council is to acknowledge the continued sovereignty of the Master Creator Son.
Okay. So when a local universe gets settled, remember that's a pretty big deal that we talked about way back when. And they've given you this, yeah, I mean, you definitely have local universes settled in light and life, you know, in the universe of universes. But now they're giving us some kind of detail of exactly how it is. Remember how we read a long time ago that the local universe, you know, really gets officially brought, in, you know, into the councils of the super universe at that point when the local universe is settled in light and life. And it's like, well, okay, specifically, how does that work? Well, here they're giving you a detail. There's this Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority, as they've coined an English expression for us, for it. See, and what is it? It is very much the literal extension of the Trinity government of the Ancients of Days out into the details, right? The Unions of Days and the Faithful, no, one local universe, the Union of Days, and then the 100 Faithfuls of Days become very direct extensions of the Ancients of Days and their governance. Okay, so, you know, from the very beginning, everyone has been in place to sort of literalize the Trinity administration, but they've just been standing at the side. You know, like the Union of Days, standing to the side of Michael. But now, okay, he's not just there in that kind of advisory role, but he's much more all the time in that role that he was in while Michael was, you know, doing his seventh pistole, where the Union of Days just took charge of the local universe. Here we're seeing that, you know, being the norm, not the exception, you know, the rule, not the exception.
It's a handoff.
Right.
Yeah, but the first act.
Right, I was just going to get to that. Yeah, sure. Right, okay. So they're the Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority, period. Okay, but, you know, you still have a Master Son who's sovereign. Okay, how is he exercising his sovereignty? Well, coincidentally, every way he would like to exercise his sovereignty is exactly the way the Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority would like it, you know, executed. I mean, it's, you know, it's much like that. Do the thought adjusters and the guardian angels have meetings so that they do things that coordinate together? No, they do both what they know must be done, and coincidentally, it's perfectly coordinated together. Right? But there needs to be an official thing that it's not like they just usurped the Master Son. You know, they need to make that clear right up front. We're not usurping here, but we're in you know, we're in place with a reminder that eventually the Master Son is not going to be here. Okay? Yeah, and the smooth handoff has begun.
So he's packing his grips.
Right, I mean, and you'll see here in a second, I mean, the Master Son is, you know, not in the local universe much anymore after that. He didn't have to be. And he's still technically sovereign there, but it becomes more and more of a technicality. Right? He doesn't need to be sovereign there anymore. Right? Before the universe needed him to be sovereign. Now it doesn't need him to be sovereign because it has the Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority. That sounds pretty sovereign. Okay, so the handoff has officially begun. And it begins for the Master Son in a very overt way, long before it begins in an equally overt way for the Creative Mother Spirit. And it's no sign that she's, you know, totally coalescing to a localized being and letting go yet, okay? But he, in many ways, is just, you know, letting go of the reins and, you know, off to other duties. Okay? All right.
Can you speak of the, it soon swings into the...
Yeah. That's I was just want to make, before I got to that other detail, I just want to make sure we covered everything there. So we got our, so that first part, that's what I was referring to that we talked about a long time ago. When it says, when a universe becomes settled in light and life, it soon swings into the established super universe circuits. And if you wanted to, you could flip back. This is way back in paper 15. Single column, page 177, paper 15, section 9. I wanted to read a little bit so you can actually go back and follow along. So long ago, when we were in paper 15, we talked about what we're talking about now here. So you see how in section 9 in paper 15 there, they've got that... the super universe circuits, local universe circuits, and those, you know, lists of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 1, 2, 3. See those enumerated lists there. And then right after those lists, you know, that paragraph that starts, when there develops, okay? So this is referring to this local universe getting settled in light and life. And I'm not going to read that whole paragraph, but look at the end of that paragraph where it says the requisites for admission to the councils of the Ancients of Days, membership in this super universe confederation are. Okay? And notice, not federation, right, anymore, but confederation, because the local universe is now up to the level of the super universe, effectively. And so, you know, they're not having to reach up anymore. They're at eye level. So it's not a federation anymore, it's a confederation. And look at, there's two components to it. The first one, which maybe is the first thing you thought of when they said swings into the established super universe circuits, it sounded very physical,
yeah,
very astronomic, right? And part of it is. But of course you all know that there's a lot more than just physical circuits, right? To the universe of universes. So there's two components. But here's what it says. See, number one, physical stability. The stars and planets of a local universe must be in equilibrium. The periods of immediate stellar metamorphosis must be over. Right, so, you know, nothing like supernovas or anything like that can be going on. Right? All these... You know, basically everything is going to mean the stars that are the star, you know, the suns for inhabited worlds are going to be encircuited and internalized. Okay,
not burning down.
Right? There's no stars are burning out and becoming cinders or anything like that anymore, or doing anything that no one wants them to do. Right, see, so, and the stars and the planets of a local universe must be in equilibrium. The periods of immediate stellar metamorphosis must be over. The universe must be proceeding on a clear track. Its orbit must be safely and finally settled. Okay, so you can see that some of these things you're wondering about what about all the physical dead-end stuff, you know? Well, probably some of it is, you know, already being taken care of at this point. But it doesn't seem to be any indication that you couldn't still have some extraneous planets in a solar system, right, at this point. You just need to kind of have all the basic issues settled so that this can become a very firmly settled, in a physical sense, settled local universe that's in orbit about the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, so there's that physical circuit issue. You can tell from the way they word it there, there's still local universes that are being built the Milky Way galaxy. Right? So everything has to adjust to that. You get a whole bunch of new matter down in the Milky Way galaxy, all the local universes that are already there are going to have to adjust to that, right? Because there's going to be all the gravity and whatnot. The master physical controllers are trying to, they succeed holding the local universe together as it goes around. It can't be ripped apart by all these new additions. We need to modify its path through the Milky Way for the next few trillion years. But then eventually, though, it's going to be able to just, okay, this is the path it's going to be on forever. Okay? So now, obviously, see, local universes getting settled in light and life, that would have to be way down the road in general. Because there's no way you could get one in some really settled path until a lot of stuff was, roughly in place, right? Yeah. But that all seems to make sense. I mean, if it's way more than 300 billion years to get a constellation in light and life, right? How long is it to get a local universe settled in light and life? So just naturally, it would be way down the road in a super universe before the first local universe was settled in light and life. Okay? And there's probably some, this obviously suggests that maybe there is some settling from the center outward or something like this. There may have to be some logistics to this, You maybe just can't settle one anywhere at any time, right? But that's what the job of the power beings is, to deal with all those issues, right? To make sure that when a local universe is settled in light and life, it can do this, right? Yeah. It can be officially settled. It has to be in a fixed orbit about the center at that point.
Even the one next to it is not.
Even though, right, the one next to it's not, and there's, lots and lots and lots of local universes, tens of thousands that haven't been started yet. Yeah. Right?
They're not cleared for takeoff.
Yeah. Right. So it's obviously a very complex task that those power beings have to make that happen. So there's that bit about the established super universe circuits, quote unquote, swinging into them. What about the rest of the picture? Number two here is spiritual loyalty. There must exist a state of universal recognition of and loyalty to the sovereign Son of God, who presides over the affairs of such a local universe. Universal recognition of and loyalty to. And so you have this, it's not just physical, but intellectual and spiritual also. Everything is in a very advanced state of settledness.
You're talking about Michael here?
Right, we're talking about the Master Son, yeah. The sovereign Son of God, the Master Son of that local universe. There must have come into being a state of harmonious cooperation between the individual planets, systems, and constellations of the entire local universe. So you have this very advanced state of coordination not just physical, but intellectual and spiritual as well. So that, you know, kind of leads you to recognize, oh, in other words, you really have a triunity local universe. It no longer is a threefold actuality striving towards full triunity functioning. It is a triunity fact that's being plugged into the Trinity administration or domain of the super universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a lock and key kind of. It doesn't fit. It's not
right. Part of if it's it, not a triunity, it can't be plugged in.
Right.
Right. So at the same time that you can think of the local universe as moving upward until it's finally at the super universe level and can plug in, you know, think about it internally as morphing into a phenomenon where matter, mind, and spirit work together as one system. You know, you haven't blurred the three energies together. You still have three energies, but they're coordinated together so that they're like three facets of one energy. You know, and that triunity sort of a phenomenon is, remember, what you've got in the central universe. You know, we've talked about that many times. You know, that's the pattern for what we're doing here. You know, and when you go there, the distinction between energy pattern and spirit pattern is nothing like what we think of, right? I mean, literally, you know, you don't just have to, you know, when you're on one of those Avona worlds, you not only have to synchronize with all of the personalities there in order to be in tune with what's going on in that world, you have to synchronize with all of the matter, too. Right? If you don't synchronize with the triunity that is there, you're not synchronized. See, and that's starting to get into the full potential of your personality as a triunityizer, right? An influence that can get you to synchronize with the universal harmony, with the triunity, even at those incredibly, unimaginably complicated, vast levels of just one Avona world, right? To somehow synchronize with, you know, unimaginable complexity of things and beings there, you know, and all of the associativity between that individuality and unity. Okay, but you're seeing it here, that a local universe is now embodies that majesty, and can, you know, so just imagine what it'll be like when you start to journey around the Milky Way galaxy. Remember, you know, just to get up to Uversa, you have to go to all 10 major sectors. Okay, so you start to travel around a bit. Right? You're not just on this beeline towards Uversa. So, you know, you'll begin to experience some of these incredibly settled domains.
Yeah.
Right? And what that'll be like.
Because they must be in service to the lifting the rest of the
super universe. Yeah, yeah, obviously. So it's kind of interesting things to look forward to. You know, what will it be like when to experience matter-minded spirit seeming to seamlessly dance together in a grand play. You know. Now, which is thing and which is being, right? Yeah. Remember, when you finally get to the Isle of Paradise, it's like, now what's the difference between the substance of the isle and the body of the eternal sun? Right? I mean, it begins to be indistinguishable. You know, what's thing and what's being? Right? When you're in Havona, things from our, you know, we would think that everything was a being there. From our crude perspective, we couldn't distinguish between things and beings there. You know, the rocks would be like gods to us.
Right.
We would, if we were to see a Havona rock, we'd worship it. We would think it was God himself,
yeah.
Right?
We ascend up through all the differentials.
Yep.
But when things get elevated, the differentials will go away.
Yep.
But except on the higher levels.
Yep.
Eventually,
right.
All the differentials will be.
Right. The beauty is you never run out of differentials, because differentials go up to the infinite level, right? but everything, like I was just saying, everything that you now think of as the difference between stuff, you know, gets transcended. Remember, when the grand universe is settled in light, all finite differentials are transcended. So everything that you can even possibly know of as a differential now will go away. And an infinite vista of new differentials, you know, will be in play.
The absentite won't disappoint you in terms of differentials.
But to think of literally transcending, a mile distance or a meter distance or, you know, a foot distance or whatever, all those separations of a finite nature become zero. But that even doesn't collapse into a singularity, though, right? There's still separation, just transcendent separation. But all finite angles and all finite distances will go to zero when you transcend the finite. Right? What used to be 100 million light years is zero. But that doesn't mean, there's still going to be separation. See, it's just everything is going to be in an absentite geometry then, instead of a finite one. Yeah. All right. Fun stuff to reflect on. Okay, so let's see. So we got everything there. Yeah, okay, so let's get the next little nugget here.
The universe administration, as far as concerns Gabriel and the Father Melchizedek, is quite unchanged. This council of unlimited authority is chiefly concerned with the new problems and the new conditions arising out of the advanced status of light and life.
Okay, just... We'll get the details here in a second, but just this, notice the specifics. The universe administration, okay, in terms of Gabriel and the Father Melchizedek, is quite unchanged. So you still have kind of some of the basic internal things that, they've been doing forever. Because remember, I mean, just because one local universe is settled in light and life doesn't, you haven't even started some local universes yet, right? So obviously Gabriel and Father Melchizedek still have internal things that are just as always. But, as they're about to mention, Gabriel and Father Melchizedek take on some additional things relative to those local universes, right? Relative to their local universe being settled in light and life. But internally in that local universe, I meant local systems just a second ago, didn't I? Yeah, there's still local systems, that are in very early stages. I think I said local universe when I meant local system in that local universe, is still in very early stages. And so still, they still have their internal jobs, much the same. Yeah. It's hard to keep shifting. We keep going to these big scales, then we go back down to the low, small scales. Right. I mean, you still have a lot of differential within the local universe. Okay.
You have to exhaust them. To transcend them.
Right. So, but still, there's nothing, primitive like we have now, right? But relatively speaking, you still have local systems, inhabited worlds in very early stages, right? Think about, even though that last constellation that gets settled in light and life, and so now the local universe is settled in light and life. Well, one of the other constellations has been settled in light and life for a long, 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 long time, right? So, and in relative terms, there's still a vast differential internally that they've got to manage. Okay. Okay, so that's what they're talking about there, that just in terms of managing all those internal differentials, Gabriel and Father Melchizedek are quite unchanged in their duties. But what about this this Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority? do they have to interact with that in some way? Let's see what they say.
The associate inspector now mobilizes all assigned sentinels to constitute the stabilization core of the local universe and asks the Father Melchizedek to share its supervision with him. And now, for the first time, a core of inspired Trinity spirits are assigned to the service of the Union of Days.
Okay. So, all right. So remember how we talked about this before. You've got two modes of the Trinity government. You've got the stuff that's directly from the Ancients of Days, and then the stuff that comes from the Supreme Executive of the Super Universe. And so here you see those deputies, if you will, of the Supreme Executive, the Associate Inspector at the local universe capital, and the Assigned Sentinels at the local system headquarters. I got the words right that time. Got myself dialed back down in here again.
What happens when you pop out of
Mona? It's tough to keep it all straight. Those beings that are extensions of the Supreme Executive, they synchronize with the Father Melchizedek. So the Father Melchizedek gets linked to the Supreme Executive. He's saying, well, I wonder if Gabriel's going to get linked to the Ancients of Days. Right? That's what we'll see next. Right? So Gabriel and the Father Melchizedek, like they said before, have all of their normal sorts of internal things, but they are now taking on these anchor point roles relative to the Ancients of Days and the Supreme Executive. And you've got this stabilization core of the local universe. See, so more along what I went back there in paper 15 and read to you. See, you've got this actual core that is managing things relative to that now established stabilization. And like you asked, evolution is still in play. Right, so there's still an evolution to this process. It's not, eternalized in its stability, right? But so that's why you need a core that is directly related to that new issue that's in play. This modality, if you will, of the local universe. Relative it to being fully encircuited in the super universe. I mean, that wasn't there before, so someone's got to oversee that, that plugged-in aspect of the local universe. Okay.
The settling of an entire local universe in light and life inaugurates profound readjustments in the entire scheme of administration, from the individual inhabited worlds to the universe headquarters. New relationships extend down to the constellation and systems. The local universe mother spirit experiences new liaison relations with the master spirit of the super universe, and Gabriel establishes direct contact with the Ancients of Days to be effective when and as the master son may be absent from the headquarter world.
Like I said, so Gabriel then gets paired with the Ancients of Days, and again, you're seeing this, just like with the Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority, more signs that the official handoff has begun. Okay. Right. Master Son's going to be away a lot. Yeah, now you see a direct reference to what we've already talked about. You've got that creative mother spirit of the local universe. So up until this point, she's been both the spirit presence and the mind presence of that local universe. She's a spirit hyphen mind presence. Mind is the foundation, with the spirit presence on top of that. A spirit hyphen mind presence. In the super universe, you have the mind presence of the reflective mother spirits and the spirit presence of the master spirit. And the two are separate, not conjoined like they are in the local universe. So is she... as she's, her local universe has been elevated up to super universe level, initially can sort of hand off the spirit presence aspect to just the spirit presence of the master spirit, okay, and then slowly over time until the grand universe is settled in life, she's going to hand over the mind presence completely to the reflective mother spirits. And that's not directly mentioned there, but see, that's part of the, you know, of the handoff too. But
it begins here,
right? But see, it's obviously going to, you can sort of hand off the ceiling, the spirit ceiling of the mind energy ministry, first, and then, you know, and then the more your children in your local universe as a creative mother spirit, the more your children are really don't need you to be a downstepped expression. You know, she can just hand off that more and more, and everyone is just, really, you know, functioning in the mind womb of the reflective mother spirits.
Yeah, they probably don't notice the difference.
Right, it's all a seamless handoff. Just like it's seamless for the Spirit of Truth ministry to be handed off from the local universe substrate of the creative mother spirit. That can go right over onto the substrate of the reflective mother spirits. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can still be plugged into the Spirit of Truth when you leave the local universe. I see. We're just seeing, you know, the more ubiquitous sort of handing off like that as we've brought the whole thing up. Okay, so that's what they're referring to here. She experiences these new liaison relations, you know, because her spirit nature is much more, equivalent to the spirit presence of the Master Spirit, you know, himself. In the super universe. Okay.
And the same thing happens with Michael, right?
Yeah. It's in the same way, only in less of a physics to it, right?
Right.
You know, it's more of an administrative handoff. Because the mother spirit is the one that's really taking care of all of these sort of like literal energy, you know, issues of the local universe. Remind yourself of what I said up front, like they said there. When it said for individual inhabited worlds, right, you have profound readjustments, right, in the entire scheme of administration. So remember, that's the main thing, even though they aren't giving you the details. That's what happens. You've got a world that's been settled in light and life for a very, very long time. But once it's in a local universe that's been settled in light and life, its administration gets completely reworked. You know, even if it's been in seventh stage of light and life for, you know, ages and ages, right? There's this whole new upgrade in what's going on in that world. And, you know, and it involves all kinds of things and beings that we aren't revealed, right? But it's there. So you just, you know, what is in play here is you read the ones about the seven stages of light and life in the world, and you think, well, okay, it's all really cool, but then the world gets to the seventh stage of light and life, and then it just like flatlines in, huh? And it's just like boring until the grand universe. No, see, there's all these other things that come in play, and it just, you know, it's an ever uplifting seventh stage of light and life of that world because of these bigger, you know, settlings that are going on.
Think babies are still born?
Yeah, babies are still being born, right? You know, and only now they're being born into a local universe that's settled in light and life.
But they're still being born.
And those babies are still being born. But see, like, you know, think about it. You know, it's one thing to just talk abstractly about the creative mother spirit synchronizing with the reflective mother. Well, that means that newborn baby, even that baby in the womb, you know, is beginning to utilize mind in a super universe sort of a way. Yeah. Right. See, so the mortals on these inhabited worlds, I mean, you know, you get when those babies are being born into a local universe to settle in life, light life, they're being born with minds that we can't even imagine right now. It's still adjutant mind, right? Yeah. I mean, only adjutant mind can seed on a material brain, right? But you're using adjutant mind in this very, very, like we said before, this very transcendent way. I mean, what is the first adjutant like in a local universe when the whole local universe is settled in light and life? Wow. Right? I mean, you know, how do amoebas behave? You know, all they have is the first adjutant. Okay, or an insect, all it has is the first adjutant. What are those like when the whole local universe is settled in light and life? And that mind energy is way different than what it is now.
Maybe they don't need them anymore.
I mean, this is all of these imponderable questions that come into play.
They don't need mosquitoes. I won't miss the mosquitoes.
Right? But again, reminds you, I mean, you remember how when we're just focusing on the world and we're talking about how much genetic engineering there is and how every creature has been completely reworked and stuff? Well, yeah, I mean, maybe every creature has to be radically reworked because, you know, only things that can really plug into these higher and higher functionings of mind can be on a world.
It's like a midware in a way. They're born with a whole lot more.
Right. See, so, right. It's just very interesting to think about. See, and they're not really, you know, literally talking about a lot, but you can obviously, you know, read between the lines. What is that like for the little children on those worlds, let alone all the animals? How does that all look like? And remember, like we were just talking about, you know, the whole separation between things and beings is not like it is right now. Right. It's pretty easy to distinguish things and beings right now on this planet. Okay, but what happens when a baby's born into a world where there isn't that much distinction? How does that, I mean, think of it, what does that mean? I mean, what's it like for a mom to have a baby in her womb when there's this much closer synchronization between matter and mind and spirit than there is now? And I mean, it's just all these fascinating questions.
Tree huggers become a real
thing. You know? Now, obviously, you know, it
does. Trees hug back.
You know, right? It does. I was just going to say that. You just took the words out of my mouth, right? Just you think about the trees hugging back. It's like, well, yeah, but obviously it can't go that far, where there literally is no difference between a tree and a human, right? you know, when when purposing is more manifest in things and beings sort of on par, you know, what is that like? None of us can even imagine it. Okay, yep.
At that point, I mean, so much has been weeded out, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's, you know, we don't have, it's hard for us to really sink our brains onto that right now.
What do you say?
Well, there's so much stuff has been changed, but at that point, there's been so many obstacles, so many unnecessary things within nature has been excluded.
Yeah. Like we talked about before, I mean, you know, you're way down the road with the worlds, you know, and so, you know, just the world unto itself is so
refined,
so perfect relative to anything we can imagine right now. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We read that paragraph. Let's see. We get everything. I think we did. We keep getting off on these tangents. They just keep repeating that there's, you know, almost no sign of any hierarchy in the local universe anymore. You know, they keep stressing new relationship extend down to the constellations and systems. It's just, see, you've now just basically eliminated all of the hierarchy within the local universe, right, at this point. It really is no difference between above and below. Yeah. Yep.
Winston's asking, is this mindful hand of the reflective mother spirit what we are becoming in sync with as the whole? And is this the progression of mortals to finaliters?
Again, remember, initially, you have this definitive hierarchy of wholeness. Right? And the mothers are the embodiment of the wholeness at a given level in the hierarchy. Right now, you can't even imagine wholeness beyond the wholeness of the creative mother spirit. But like we're saying, worlds in this stage, you know, are way down the road. They have a transcendent recognition of wholeness that transcends the wholeness of the creative mother spirit. I mean, they can conceive of a wholeness that's super universized, reflective mother spirit size. As finaliters, you're already beyond that, right? The finaliters are functioning in a domain of wholeness that's the collective super universe level, like we were talking about just a little bit ago. Right? They already have gone way beyond the wholeness of a super universe. And you've got to, you're transcending your master spirit stuff on the seventh circle of Avona.
Right.
And so, yeah, so finaliters are, you know, in a very vast recognition of wholeness. All right. Keep going here.
During this and subsequent ages, the magisterial sons continue to function as dispensational adjudicators. While 100 of these Avonal sons of paradise constitute the new high council of the bright morning star on the universe capital. Later on, and as requested by the system sovereigns, one of these magisterial sons will become the supreme counselor stationed on the headquarters world of each local system until the seventh stage of unity is attained.
Okay, just you're going, why are they bringing in this detail about the magisterial sons? Now, you know, they mentioned, remember, the early part of this paper, how you've got dispensations going on, on and on through the settled stages of light and life. You know, we have no idea what those dispensations are demarking, but you have those dispensational adjudicators continuing on. But what about the magisterial sons, not in that adjudicational role, but, you know, that judicial role, but in but relative to all of the experiences they've acquired, being incarnate, right? Remember, we talked about that. You've got, you know, every time they're incarnate, they've got an adjuster, they've got a soul, and that soul merges with their nature. So you have these magisterial sons that are this ever increasingly profound combination of being from paradise and being of the local universe. Remember, I mentioned that way back when we were talking about them, just to remind you where it is, clear up in the Jesus papers, right? When you're reading in the Time in the Tomb, you know, which is, what is that? That's paper 188, section 3.
Page.
Well, you don't need it. It's 188, section 3. As there, you have the various revelatory speculation, revelator speculations about the time in the tomb. They mention in passing, quote unquote, the Nebadon core of the finality.
Yeah.
Remember, I mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't explain to you, you know, what is the Nebadon core of the finality. Remember also we were going through thinking about the there's 10 groups of 7 worlds around Salvington, right? I mean, you know, each block of 7. And they tell you, you know, these are the Melchizedek worlds, you know, et cetera. You know, you get around to the 9th group, these are the seraphim worlds, but they don't tell you what the 10th is, remember? Right? I mean, those are, you know, it's pretty obvious when you think, put it all together. Those are the worlds of these magisterial sons, augmented by all these incarnations. Those are the worlds of the Nebadon core of the finality. Not finaliters, you know, in the sense we were just talking about, right? But this Nebadon core of the finality, right? And you know, that's what we're referring to here, that Nebadon core of the finality is, you know, playing a greater and greater role. So the two, you know, that core of the finality with the mortal core of the finality, you know, the actual finaliters, like us one day. So more and more of this Trinity manifestation is happening. Oh, and I forgot to, that's why there was one little thing I mentioned. Remember up above there, they said, and now for the first time, a core of the inspired Trinity spirits are assigned to the service of the Union of Days? Very definitive statement that it's getting very, very Trinity government. If it's actually at a high enough level where the inspired Trinity spirits have something to do with what's going on,
yeah.
You know, those are very, you know, transcendent beings. Right? I mean, they don't even manifest. I mean, they're more ethereal, if you will, than solitary messengers.
Right.
Right. So. Right, we just see this ever increasingly profound manifestation of Trinity, more and more Trinity in every way you can think of it. The Nebadon core of the finality, that kind of augmentation of the Trinity-like administration. That's what they just keep mentioning. Everything you can think of a Trinity nature is in play. Okay. So in other words, all of the old dual stuff obviously is getting effectively replaced. And can eventually, the Creator Son, the Creator Mother Spirit can go off to other things. Because in every way, shape, and form, you've got Trinity stuff in play. All right, let's see, what else do we have in there?
So what's the Supreme Counselor? They become the Supreme Counselor stationed on the headquarters?
Yeah, so...
Advise him, or?
Right, I mean, we obviously don't know exactly what that means, but... you're having one of these members of the Nebadon core of the finality being a Trinity advisor at the side of a son, right, a local universe son, just like you long had Emmanuel at the side of Michael, right, a Trinity individual at the side of a son, right, you're just seeing that, further augmented, you know. But it begs the question, you know, when the grand universe is settled in light and life, what becomes of the Lunanodex? You know, the Revelators don't. I don't think the Revelators have any idea what becomes of the Lunanodex. But the very fact that you've got a Trinity-like individual sort of standing to the side of this former, you know, soul. Son-like, you know, descending son-like leader is suggestive that there's a handoff thing, you know, that's probably beginning there. Right? One would think that the Lunanodex are much more like us and probably have some role in the outer space levels rather than, you know, forever staying here.
What'd you say? They would have to have adjusters.
No, they don't have to have adjusters. Lots of beings are going to go into outer space levels without adjusters, like a Creator Son. Right. Yeah, our Creator Mother Spirit doesn't need an adjuster. Right. The Master Architects don't have adjusters. Right, I mean, you can just, yeah. Yeah. See, again, notice how we tend to, well... The highest thing in the universe is me with an adjuster. And just notice how you're thinking about it. You tend to do that. You got to catch it. Yeah. Got to catch yourself doing that. Okay, let's see. All right, so I think we can go on here now. Yeah.
During this epoch, the Trinity Teacher Sons are volunteer advisors, not only to the planetary sovereigns, but in groups of three, they similarly serve the constellation fathers. And at last, these sons find their place in the local universe, for at this time, they are removed from the jurisdiction of the local creation and are assigned to the service of the Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority.
Okay, see, so for a long, long time, you know, and that's why they call them this, they've been teacher sons, right? They haven't been administrators, they've been teachers. And they've been really been functioning more of a son-like mode under the Creator Son and Creator Mother Spirit. But as they're saying there, and at last, these sons find their place. They actually start to function more as a Trinity being in the Trinity government, rather than a teacher son under the dual administration of the local universe. So another sign, see, that things are moving more and more towards Trinity.
Even at the planetary
level. And then, of course, just mentioning that they're obviously going to do more and more roles because they're Trinity, right? But we saw them doing stuff even before the world was settled in light and life during the post-teacher-son age, right? You were bringing that coordination because they're Trinity beings, and getting the threefold actuality coordinated more, in advance of light and life. So they've been functioning in Trinity ways even as teachers, but they're pointing out technically they've just they've never been part of the Trinity administration though. Right, like Emmanuel say, or a faithful of days or something, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but finally that's transitioning when the local universe is settled in light and life. We got everything. And just removing them, removing them from jurisdiction of the local creation is another sign that the handoff is continuing. There's just getting to be less and less of a local universe phenomenon in the old mode. But not totally, like they mentioned up front. Gabriel and Father Melchizedek, they're still quite unchanged. Okay, so, take everything, relatively. Don't think in dichotomies here. All right, keep going here.
The finaliter core now, for the first time, acknowledges the jurisdiction of an extra-paradise authority, the Supreme Council. Heretofore, the finaliters have recognized no supervision this side of paradise.
Okay, so there is a truth to you're not the boss of me. if you say that, you're seeing how far ahead of yourself you're getting here. You're not a finaliter yet.
Lucifer wasn't going to wait. I don't like how this is going. I'm just going to assume reasons.
But think about us, instead of Lucifer saying you're not the boss of me, think about humans that say that. There is a truth to that, but it's not appropriate for you to behave that way until you're a finaliter. But even that...
What is this saying?
When finaliters go out, remember, they took an oath to the Paradise Trinity,
right,
not to a creator son.
Okay.
Right, I mean, they go out and work, they're not working under Ancients of Days or Creator Son, Master Sons, or anything like that.
They're still working together, right?
Right, everything works seamlessly together, right? They're not working against the Master Sons, right? But, and you see, they never really do, right? But finally, when you have the Trinity government that they serve definitively in place, right? They are in cooperative subordination to the Paradise Trinity, not to Master Sons. And finally, when the Trinity is so literally, the functioning of the Trinity is so literally present, right, they acknowledge, we are under that, because that's the same thing we put ourselves under on the Isle of Paradise, and it's now out here. Right, they really haven't changed what they're under. They're just acknowledging what they're under is now out here.
Yeah, look who showed up.
Right. So just I keep stressing this because notice how we're not even remotely talking about the Father. Universal Father, either in the Eternal Son or the Infinite Spirit. It's such a radical thing for humans to have this fourth fact to come to terms with, the Paradise Trinity, and that's the only facet of deity that directly engages triunity. Right? Everything else is just scaffolding to get to that point. Right? The three infinite persons do a scaffolding thing until everything can get directly interfacing with the Trinity. And then they move on to the next task, right? It's everything is not, moving towards some intimacy with the Father, like our longstanding thoughts about God, would tend us to believe. This is a pretty radically different perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That the central universe is the domain of the Paradise Trinity, not the three infinite persons.
Right.
It should start to really remind you that the Universal Father is just the initiator. Right? And what is he initiating you toward? Cooperative subordination to the Paradise Trinity, right? Being intimate with the only facet of deity that you fundamentally can be intimate with, the only facet of deity that directly engages the triunity. Everything else is at least one step removed. And that's a pretty radically different, way to think about your relationship to that which is greater than you, right? Just notice as we're reading through this, it's like we haven't talked about the Universal Father in a very long time, have we? Right? Because we're not talking about anything that needs to be initiated. Everything has been completely initiated, and we're way down the road of any initiation. Father is embedded way down in the beginning of all this, right? And then you're finally trying to get to your real destiny of this synchronization with the Trinity. All right. But you got to love the, heretofore the finalities have recognized no supervision this side of paradise. It's just like, it's just begging for the, you're not the boss of me. and it's just, we tried to stress that last time, especially post-Pentecost. You have the potential to envision things way down the road. We're just being reminded that it literally isn't, you're not just making this up. There is, that fact actually is way down the road in the future. But it's not now. Right? So there'll be a time, when you recognize no supervision this side of paradise. Okay, but it's not now. And we were talking about getting 200 billion years ahead of yourself, last week. Again, you're getting way, way ahead of yourself when you start thinking those sorts of independent actor sorts, thinking of yourself as such a definitive independent actor. Okay, keep going here.
The creator sons of such settled universes spend much of their time on paradise and its associated worlds, and in counseling the numerous finality groups serving throughout the local creation. In this way, the man of Michael will find a fuller fraternity of association with the glorified finality mortals.
Yeah, and up there in the time of the tomb, when they're referring to that Nebadon core of the finality, midwayers were, talking about those that speculate about this role, future role of Michael with those magisterial sons. Because when they say counseling the numerous finality groups, that's not just the ones that have come from paradise, we're immediately thinking. There's the Nebadon core of the finality too. That last line, in this way, the man of Michael will find a fuller fraternity of association with the glorified finality mortals. When you think about the grand universe getting settled in light and life, and that speculation of creator sons, creator mother spirits going out there as complements with the finaliters out into the first outer space level. When you have those completed finaliters, so that they have a much more, any word besides complete, much more complete associative a potential with the Master Sons and the Creative Mother Spirits. You might actually want to indicate the finaliters in a slightly different way. They're not just the run-of-the-mill finaliters like we have now. That's why, you know, for those of you who are familiar with my Fundamental Patterns of Reality paper, you may have noticed, you know, in passing when I made a little reference to this pairing between Master Sons and finaliters, I capitalized finaliter. You know, it's never capitalized, like right here, it's not capitalized. You know, you might have noticed that. It's like, whoops, Chris goofed and capitalized finaliter when he shouldn't have. It's like, well, no, I was actually thinking of, you know, not just finaliters, but the completed finaliter, the quote-unquote capitalized finaliter that really has this full coordinate, you know, complementary relationship with the Master Sons.
That was my seventh stage?
Yeah, the seventh stage finaliters. I mean, that's my subtle little way of indicating that. Sort of call the question. It's like, well, why did you capitalize that? Well, it's that. It's just projecting all the way to that endpoint, you know, and thinking about this full complementary relationship that they would have that's worthy of being indicated as some differential from what they have right now. Because, you know, look at what they're just talking about. The finaliters are working in Michael's local universe as if he's not sovereign or anything, right? That's not a very complimentary synchronization yet, right? I mean, they're functioning like he's not even here, you know, effectively. You know, never at odds with him, of course. Just like the Supreme Council of Unlimited Authority is not going to be at odds with that sovereign either, but, right? Yeah. So anyway, that was my little tip to that fact.
So doesn't it somewhere imply that as finaliters, even knowing we go throughout all the super universes, that we eventually come back here, and we're eventually, you know, finaliters with along with Michael in the future? Does it somewhere imply that? Because we came from this particular.
No one has any idea. It doesn't directly. I mean, you know, remember, you know, until you've worked in the other six super universes, right, you can't come back to this super universe, right? So, you know.
But doesn't he keep track of you from here? I mean.
Yes. I mean, it's an obvious possible speculation. I mean, we must have a lot of closeness to our Creator Son. Even when the grand universe is settled in light and life, you would certainly think that there
could be.
There's some sort of, I mean, but you know, how you think about that, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to imagine that the finaliters from this local universe would only be working with our Creator Son in the outer space levels. But one would think that there must be some continuing closeness there that who knows how that plays out.
An awful lot of finaliters.
Right. We have no idea what we're doing out there, right? Yeah, there's an awful lot of finaliters. And,
don't have a clue as to what
we're doing
out there.
Right. So, yeah, I have no idea how that will play out. Yeah, but the very fact that even when you leave this local universe, like I was saying just a little bit ago, you still are synchronized with His Spirit of Truth, right, on the super universe substrate. I see that's indicating some ongoing closeness to our Creator Son, yeah, our Master Son. Yep.
Well, there's two things. They mentioned here the man of Michael.
Yeah.
And they mentioned glorified finaliter mortals. You know, they're referring back to our mortality, something we have in common with Michael.
Right, yeah. I mean, fundamentally, he has a soul, you know, that was formed here, just like our soul, you know, was formed here, right? And you know, that very immediate similarity doesn't ever go away, right? We can always resonate with the Michael that lived here, right? You know, that seventh bestowal Michael, you know. Okay. Because, you know, remember, as finaliters, you don't burn any bridges. You still have everything here then, right? So, you know, that foundational, you know, relationship is inescapable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, they refer, you know, they refer to that, to him that way. Because like I said, you know, that they're in that mode of thinking about, you've got all of these magisterial sons that have those souls, you know, merged into them, right? You know, they're speaking to that commonality, that foundational commonality that's going to start playing out and realizing potentials of that relationship that can't be manifested until these, you know, deep stages. Okay, keep going here.
Speculation concerning the function of these creator sons in connection with the outer universes now in process of preliminary assembly is wholly futile. Oh, come on. Resistance is futile.
We were trying to do it, though.
But we all engage in such postulations from time to time, even though it is futile. On attaining this fourth stage of development, the Creator Son becomes administratively free. The Divine Minister is progressively blending her ministry with that of the Super Universe Master Spirit and the Infinite Spirit. There seems to be evolving a new and sublime relationship between the Creator Son, the Creative Spirit, the Evening Stars, the Teacher Sons, and the ever-increasing finality core.
So we already talked about a lot of that, but just notice the one little bit at the end. We were just talking about Master Sons and Finalities. It's a little more complex system than that, right? It isn't just a pair, right? You've got, obviously you have the Creative Spirit, you know, the Creative Mother Spirits, and the Evening Stars and the Trinity Teacher Sons, you know, like they've mentioned before. You know, like the Evening Stars, you know, and their relationship to gravity messengers, right, that are working with the finaliters, there's all that. So it's a very complex system of beings that they can project going out to the outer space levels, not just finaliters and creator suns. Okay.
If Michael should ever leave Nebadon, Gabriel would undoubtedly become chief administrator with the Father of Melchizedek as his associate. At the same time, new status would, imparted to all orders of permanent citizenship, such as material sons, univitatia, midsoniters, cessatia, and spirit-fused mortals. But as long as evolution continues, the seraphim and the archangels will be required in universe administration.
Okay, so, right. So you notice how, you know, they're wondering, like I was wondering a little bit ago. I mean, is there some point before the grand universes settle in light and life that maybe the Creator Sons and the Creator Mother Spirits just completely, you know, disconnect from the local universe? You know, that's what they're kind of speculating on there. You know, if Michael should ever leave Nebadon, I mean, he may be gone an awful lot, you know, once the local universe is settled in light and life, but maybe, you know, there comes a point when he, you know, it's just done, right? You know, and, you know, and you have to wonder if there's a point like that, is there also a companion, you know, phenomenon where the Creative Mother Spirits just completely lets go of the local universe too? Right, so that's a possible speculation. And then, like I said, you know, we'd eventually get to these permanent, you know, residents of all in the hierarchy. But notice they don't mention it until here, right? That, so in order to really fundamentally rework all of that sort of permanent resident stuff, like the material sons being, you know, really the permanent citizens of the local system headquarters worlds, you know, you'd really would have to kind of finally put an official end to any sort of a descending son, you know, predicated on the Creator Son being a descending son, that whole order existing in the local universe, if that was finally brought to an end, you know, then maybe all these permanent citizens go on to completely different things, right? But, you know, like you think of the whole bottom of that hierarchy of, you know, cessatia and whatnot, you know, those material sons, they're called sons. See, so, I mean, they are, It's all taking something brought in at the local universe headquarters level and projecting it down in the hierarchy, right, with a descending ministry and horizontal ministry on the levels in that hierarchy. And if technically that's all there, as long as Michael is still at the top, but once he leaves, then all bets would be off. And you would literally have nothing of even a sort of a virtual hierarchy anymore. It would just completely flattened and part of the Trinity, you know, administration at that point. And so then, you know, you'd have to do something.
Okay. So two things.
Yep.
One is, but as long as evolution continues, implying that maybe it doesn't continue.
No. I mean, it continues all the way until the grand universe is settled in line life. See, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, this isn't. They're thinking about this before the grand universe is settled in line life, that these things might happen, but evolution is still ongoing. Even if Michael decides to totally let go of the local universe, you still have evolution. Until the finite is complete, there's evolution, right? See, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, if this didn't happen, if this happened before the end of evolution, right, even though Michael is not there, you still would have the seraphim and the archangels, you know, doing their roles. Okay.
Evolutionary ministry.
They're just trying to distinguish between that, you know. I mean, maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe Michael and the creative Mother Spirit don't let go until the very, very end, right?
But, you know, I can envision the pattern of the central universe being used in the grand universe. So where the beings coming in from the outer space levels are going through sections of the grand universe that is being administrated by these guys that are still left behind, so to speak. And then they got to go into Havona. Like, the whole pattern is just getting bigger, you know.
Right.
And so they might have some other, they say here, new status, but they still might be here doing stuff for that purpose.
That's what no one knows. I mean, obviously there has to be inhabitants of the super universe level that the beings, the outer spacers, have a super additive consequence with. You know, they interact with.
And we may even come to them.
Right? Right. We don't know. It's all these things, right? But see, that's what they're just, you know, they're saying, well, okay, do these permanent citizens continue on in the absentite ages? In the super universe level,
very possible.
Right? I mean, see, you know, all those speculations, just reminding you of all the different options, and none of the beings, none of the revelators know, you know, exactly what's going to happen. But okay.
I like their choice of words. Not just futile, holy.
Yeah.
We engage in the postulations from time to time, because they're in time.
Right, and maybe just mention that. You know, why did they purposely say holy? It's like, well, if it's wholly futile, you know, why would they do it at all? Well, I mean, you can get some parts, but you know you're not going to figure out the whole of it.
Yeah.
Right. It's not partly futile,
right,
but it is wholly futile.
Right, exactly.
Right, see, that's what they're, glad for bringing that up. There's all these things that we could talk forever bringing out all these details. Okay, let's
do it. We are, however, satisfied regarding two features of our speculations. If the Creator's sons are destined to the outer universes, the divine ministers will undoubtedly accompany them. We are equally sure that the Melchizedeks are to remain with the universes of their origin. We hold that the Melchizedeks are destined to play ever-increasingly responsible parts in local universe government and administration.
So it's not partly futile.
All right. Okay? They got some parts.
Right, there's some parts, right? They know that, you know, the Verondadeks and the Melchizedeks have this long-term relationship to the super-universe level. You notice, you know, they obviously have no idea what becomes of the Lonanadeks.
Yeah.
Right? And they're probably thinking more likely that the Lonanadeks maybe go out and do things in the outer space levels along with the former mortals that they're kind of more like, right? I mean, you know, we can go to iniquity, you know, so can they. You know, we have that in common. I mean, that's, you know, that right? That may indicate, you know, they're speculating that, you know, they're both destined to go on, you know, beyond. you know, someone who, you know, it's not, you know, there's a positive side to being able to go to iniquity. That means that if you don't, you've achieved a very transcendent thing that no Vorondadek or Melchizedek could ever achieve, right? They can never achieve transcending the potential to go iniquitous, because they can't. But if you can, if you transcend that potential to go iniquitous, right, maybe you transcend the super universe level, right? And you're destined for going beyond. But the fact that you don't have that potential super additive consequence, that probably means that you're destined to stay in the super universe level. So that's the kind of things that are they're getting at, right? They're thinking about that super additive consequence. It's a, you know, for a Lananadec to get to eternity is in many ways a more profound thing than a Melchizedek getting to eternity. Right? Because they could have gone to iniquity.
Yeah.
And they didn't. Okay. All right, so then next time we'll finish up this paper. They just give us a few little tidbits about the remaining three stages. But they will end up with some fun stuff about the unqualified supervisors of the Supreme. Some of those very mysterious. Remember, those were created by the Supreme Being. It's like, well, wait a minute, the Supreme Being doesn't exist yet, right? No. Got to look at it from the top down. Yeah, so it does get into some really, really rarefied stuff that you'll see we'll speculate about. And that, like we already did, about the physical stuff, you know, going beyond this, swings into the established super universe circuits. The next stage obviously is going to really start to pin down some of the physical stuff of the super universe.
Ultimate times are all
Yeah, and so you could really start speculating. It's like, you know, at that point, is there any, you know, interstellar matter left? You know, is that all cleaned up and this sort of stuff? Right? No more gas and dust between the stars blocking the view, all those sorts of things, you know. All right, let's take a moment here, everyone.